Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, The Rainy Season and Autumn, text number 25. Evam vanam tad varshishtam.
Evam vanam tad varshishtam.
Pakvarkar Jura jambu mat. Did I get it right? Yeah. That's terrible, isn't it? Actually, we need more light in here. That's what the problem is. Go, go, palaya vitorantum.
Go, go, palaya vitorantum.
Sabala pravishadharehi.
Sabala.
Evam vanam tad varshishtam. Pakvar kara jura jambumat. Go kopala ervito rantum. Sabala pravishadharehi. Evam vanam tad varshishtam. Pakvakar jura jambu mat. Go gopala ervito rantum. Sabala pravishadharehi.
Evam
vanam tad varshishtam. Pakvakar jura jambu mat. Gopala vitorantum.
Sabala
pravishadharihi. Evam. Thus. Vanam. Forest. Tat. That. Varashishtam. Most resplendent. Pakva. Ripe. Karajura, dates, jambu, and jambu fruits, mat, having, go, by the cows, gopalai, and the cowherd boys, vritaha, surrounded, rantum, with the purpose of playing. Sabalaha, accompanied by Lord Balaram. Pravishat, he entered. Harahi, Lord Krishna. When the Vrindavan forest had thus become resplendent, filled with ripe dates and jambu fruits, Lord Krishna, surrounded by his cows and cowherd boyfriends, and accompanied by Sri Balaram, entered that forest to enjoy. There's no purport, but we can read this commentary from the light of the Bhagavad. The verse is similar. After the complete rainy season, the forest of Vrindavan was full of fruits like dates and blackberries ripening on the trees and bushes. Lord Sri Krishna, along with his elder brother Sri Baladev and other cowherd boys of the vicinity, entered the beautiful forest, accompanied by the cows, to display transcendental pastimes with his eternal friends. Vrito rantum. Gopalai, vrito. Vrito Go Gopalaya Rito Rantum. Go means cows. Gopal means the protector of the cows, the cowherd boys. Rito means surrounded by. Rito also can mean covered, right? Anavritam. Covering, but in this case, surrounded by cows. Rantum, with the purpose of playing. Right? The purpose of having fun. So here it says, to display transcendental pastimes with his eternal friends. Prabhupada says, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears with his personal entourage once in 4,320 million years. That's a long time to appear. And displays his transcendental paraphernalia just to attract the conditioned souls of the material world. Although the material world is only a shadow of the spiritual world, the materially encaged living entities seek spiritual happiness here in a form perverted by materialistic attachment. Empiric philosophers with a poor fund of knowledge imagine a spiritual picture that is impersonal. But the spiritual living being, less attracted by the impersonal form of spiritual emancipation, becomes more attracted by the material form and becomes hopeless of spiritual emancipation. This is a very powerful statement, actually. We'll come back to that one. Therefore, who feels hopeless in their spiritual life? Who feels some hope? Hopeless and hopeful. You sound like you're confused. Actually, it's quite possible to feel hopeless and hopeful at the same time. Ashabanda is a quality of the bhakta, which means hopeful, but at the same time hopeless, because the material world is really a silly place to look for enjoyment and some satisfaction. Basically, material body is designed more for suffering than it is for pleasure, if you analyze it, especially when you get over 50. But even before, just that when you're young you think, hey, this is it, this is my chance. But after all that enjoyment, then comes the suffering. Anyway, we'll come back to this. Therefore, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, out of his limitless and causeless mercy, descends from the spiritual kingdom and displays his personal pastimes at Vrindavan, the replica of the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky. Vrindavan is the most sacred place within the cosmic universe. Vrindavan is the most sacred place within the universe. And people seeking to achieve spiritual emancipation by entering the kingdom of God may make a home at Vrindavan and become serious students of the six Goswamis. Not make your home at Vrindavan and then enjoy materialistic life in the spiritual world, but rather become serious students. What does that mean, becoming a serious student of the six Goswamis? Who were instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The six Goswamis were headed by Srila Rupa Goswami, who was followed by Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Bhatta Raghunath, Srila Jiva, Srila Gopala Bhatta, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. They were all seriously engaged in research and excavation of the mystery of Vrindavan Dham. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared at Vrindavan about 5,000 years ago, and the relics of his appearance at Vrindavan were lost from view. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the very same Lord Sri Krishna in the form of a great devotee, appeared at Navadvip, a district in West Bengal, and excavated the holy places of Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental pastimes. He instructed the above-mentioned six Goswamis to compose authorized literature on the cult of Vrindavan. And any serious student anxious to know about the Supreme Lord may take advantage of this invaluable literature and the guidance of authorized scholars, and thus know about the Lord of Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhuktale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dirati Svapadantikam Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinacharinam. So, this is a very nice commentary by Srila Prabhupada on this verse. When Krishna is in his early childhood, then the rasa or relationship that's manifest in his pastimes is primarily vatsalya ras, in other words, in dealings with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and the elderly gopas and gopis. But as Krishna grows up, then the desire manifests within his heart to enjoy with his friends, to experience the Sakya Rasa. And so Krishna then wants to go out into the forest, which is what's being described here. He wants to go out into the forest, and so he pleads with Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj, you know, I'm now old enough to go and look after the calves, at least. Well, the calves. You don't have to worry about the calves. I'll take the calves out. We'll take the calves out. And we'll take that burden of responsibility of looking after the calves. Because Krishna is still very young, so Nanda Maharaj is not very keen on the idea of Krishna going out into the forest by himself. But Krishna begs him, pleads with him, yes, I am. We're old enough now, we're strong enough, we're intelligent enough to look after the calves at least. And then we can just go out for a little while, because the calves can't stay out for too long, they need more attention and they need the milk from their mothers also. So Krishna pleads with Nanda Maharaj. And eventually Nanda Maharaj allows Krishna to go out into the fields. But then out in the fields, then Krishna is able to enjoy the sporting, festive atmosphere of playing with his friends, free from the watchful eye of parents who are always keeping an eye on things to make sure you don't do anything naughty. So boys always like to leave home and play where they're not being supervised by anybody. Of course, Mother Yashoda is often, you know, every so often sending something out for Krishna to eat. You know, she's still thinking about Krishna, feeling separation actually. The residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna goes out into the fields, then they're feeling great separation from Krishna. Because the boys are very happy. The cowherd boys are very happy because they're with Krishna, so they're experiencing great transcendental bliss, playing with Krishna, being with Krishna. In fact, it's described how they're so attached to seeing and being with Krishna, if Krishna accidentally moves behind a tree and they can't see him, then they almost faint from separation. So how must the residents of Vrindavan? The residents of Vrindavan are feeling great separation. I was listening to a class that Bhujan Prabhu gave in Kavindadi, saying how, you know, the cowherd boys, they feel such great separation from Krishna, they're waking up in the middle of the night and they're coming over to Krishna's house and they're saying, Kanai, Krishna, come on, let's go, it's morning, it's time to go. And Mother Yashoda saying, well, you go back to bed, it's midnight, can't you see, it's still night time, go back to sleep. Krishna's sleeping. They say they can't see that it's night time. All they can see is Krishna. So they go back to bed. Then they get up again and come back to Mother Yashoda's house. Kanai, Krishna, come on, let's go. So then eventually Krishna does get up and goes and calls the cowherd boys, and all the cowherd boys come out. And they all gather their calves, just like it's described here. Gogo Palaya Vito, surrounded by the cows and by his friends, they enter into the forest with their bugles and their ropes and their sticks and their lunch packs. Basically just to have a party, to enjoy. So Prabhupada mentions here that there's a reason why Krishna, because this is, there are a number of reasons, Krishna's doing so many things in his pastimes. But one of the, and of course, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sadhuna, vinashaya chaduskritam. He's simultaneously associating with his friends. This is his enjoyment. This is his fun. He's having fun. What does God do for fun? He goes and plays with his friends. It's very intimate dealings between Krishna and his most intimate associates. So what does he do? He goes and plays. Prabhupada gives the example of the Prime Minister, a story of Benjamin Disraeli, who was a very, very prominent figure, important person, obviously, the Prime Minister of England, at a time when England was very, very powerful. And one of his associates had come to visit him. And his secretary said he'll have to wait. So he's waiting and waiting and waiting. And then, you know, eventually he asked the secretary what's going on. And he peeked inside the room and he could see he was playing with his grandchildren, horsies. You know, he was the horsey and the grandchildren were on his back. Come on, grandpa, giddy up, giddy up. So, you know, even though he's a big, big man, and one of his important associates has come to see him, he gets much more pleasure out of playing horses with his grandchildren. So even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must prefer to go and play horses with his friends. Which is like being, you know, which is basically what playing in the fields with your friends is as a boy. You play all sorts of games. I see, it's interesting, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Controller, Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. But in these circumstances, like we've seen here, when they're playing with, when Palambasura came, then Krishna was actually defeated. Krishna's team was actually defeated by the other cowherd boys. So even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, Ajita, unconquerable, right, still, in these pastimes, sometimes we see Krishna enjoys allowing his devotees to become more powerful than him. This is how intimate it is. So that Krishna's devotees appear to be even more powerful than Krishna himself. Actually, service to Krishna is more powerful than Krishna himself. Interestingly enough, it is the most... Krishna's whole purpose is to enjoy, but not only to enjoy himself, not a selfish kind of enjoyment, just like our kind of enjoyment is let me enjoy and you everybody else suffer. But that's not Krishna's idea of enjoyment. His idea of enjoyment is everybody should enjoy. Enjoyment's for everyone. And in fact, it's described how the enjoyment of the devotee is even greater than Krishna's enjoyment. This is how devotional service is more powerful than Krishna. So much so that Krishna wants to become his devotee so that he can experience the same pleasure that the devotees are experiencing. And so therefore he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these pastimes are there for his pleasure and for the pleasure of the devotees. And on occasion, you know, if there's a, you know, as they have a want, the demons appear. So occasionally, vinashaya cha duskritam. Actually, to provide a bit of entertainment for the cowherd boys as well, Krishna also kills a few demons. That adds a bit more excitement to the whole setting, right? When there's a demon comes on the scene, then it's again enjoyment for Krishna. It's also liberation for the demon, but also pleasure for the cowherd boys. When they come home in the evening, then they're singing Krishna's glories, and they're explaining to they're describing Krishna's pastimes, and they're describing how Krishna's killed this demon or killed that demon. And dharma samsthapanataya, also to establish religious principles. This is Krishna's mission, to protect the devotees or to satisfy his devotees, to kill the demons and to establish religious principles. He appears to perform his pastimes. Now, Prabhupada mentions here in his commentary that the material world is a shadow of the spiritual world. Right? It's a shadow, a reflection, a perverted reflection, actually. And we're looking for enjoyment in the material world, but actually there's no enjoyment in the material world, practically speaking. What little enjoyment there is simply just a temporary mitigation of the different urges that we have, you know, we put up with the mind and the senses pushing us or pulling us. But actually, if we analyze it, all of the things that we pursue in the material world that we hope to make us happy, actually all they end up being is a source of misery. How does that sound? Encouraging? No, it's not. But that's what it is. This is what the Acharyas teach us. Actually, the Acharyas teach us, but the material energy actually teaches us these things as well. Maya or Durga. Durga means hard going, right? Hard struggle to get some enjoyment, and then what you thought was enjoyment ends up being just a source of misery. It's designed like that. Dukkha dosa anudarshanam. It is asasvatam, dukalayam. Temporary and so therefore miserable. The unfortunate thing is intellectually we can understand this point, But unfortunately, we're attached to these flickering pleasures. Chapala sukha is described in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion. Chapala sukha, flickering happiness. We're attached to it. And you know, there are a number of ways by which we can actually be relieved of that burden, because it is a burden. That's what liberation, practically speaking, means. Free from the burdens of material desires. I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. I've got to have this, I've got to have that. One way is to experience it, right? Experience the pleasure and experience the pain. And then we realize, adyantavanta, it has a beginning, it has a middle, and unfortunately it has an end. So we can experience it in many ways. There are many ways. You know, you enjoy eating sweets, but you don't like the fact that you get holes in your teeth. Right? Although in the material world it's relative. Prabhupada gives the example. Relative happiness and distress. Everybody likes Diwali. But especially the dentist likes Diwali, or the days afterwards, because that's when people get holes in their teeth. So your suffering is his enjoyment. This is relativity in the material world. But we can hear from authorities. Yes, material existence is temporary and limited. The only problem is, what happens, we find out that material existence is temporary and limited, and so therefore we want to negate it. Let me be free from this miserable existence. I seek pleasures, but all I end up with is sorrow. Sorrow. Actually, that reminds me of a song by David Bowie, actually. Sorrow. Was it him? Sorrow, all you did is give me sorrow. That's the chorus to the song. Anybody heard that song? You have to be around about my vintage to know that. Yeah. That song. You know it, yeah. We've experienced it. Yeah. Sorrow. So, but the problem is, whether we understand it intellectually or realize it, however we realize it, the tendency is then to negate material existence. And so Prabhupada makes this point here that the materially encaged living entities, that's us, seek spiritual happiness. We're looking for eternal happiness. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for eternal happiness. And we're even looking for it in relationships. Right? But it's a form perverted by materialistic attachment, he says here. It's a form perverted by materialistic attachment. What does that mean? A form perverted by materialistic attachment. Anybody got any ideas? The form of our enjoyment is perverted. Why is it perverted?
Because our natural enjoyment is only Krishna. Our mind sees something so we can find enjoyment.
Yeah, here's what I would offer. It's selfish. Right? It's my enjoyment without Krishna. That's the perversion. So then Prabhupada makes this point. Empiric philosophers with a poor fund of knowledge imagine then a spiritual picture that is impersonal. Right? Because the seeking out happiness in the material world ends up in distress all the time, or sorrow, then they imagine a spiritual emancipation which is without relationships. But what does Prabhupada say? He says, but the spiritual living being, less attracted by the impersonal form of spiritual emancipation, becomes more attracted by the material form. And Prabhupada makes this point all of the time. Very, very often he makes this point. The Mayavadis give up material existence and go to the Brahman, but then what do they end up doing? They end up coming back and opening up hospitals and doing charitable works and so forth, because there's actually no taste or pleasure in an impersonal emancipation or an impersonal liberation. It is not satisfying. Why? Because there's nothing to do. Right? And we are doers by nature. So because we don't have any understanding of spiritual relationships, then what happens? Not being able to sustain an impersonal liberation, they come back again to material activities. And then Prabhupada says here a very wonderful statement, and becomes hopeless of spiritual emancipation. Like, oh, I can't make any... Actually, it's even as personalists, it's not difficult to come to the point of hopelessness. Right? Because we keep on coming back to material things. Right? Keep on coming. We still haven't broken our attraction or attachment for enjoyment through material relationships. But certainly for those who are seeking an impersonal liberation, because it is very difficult, and Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is very, very difficult to realize the impersonal feature of Brahman. Very difficult. So therefore, in order to teach us that there is happiness, there is pleasure within relationships, Krishna appears in Vrindavan and performs his different pastimes to demonstrate the attractive nature of spiritual relationships. This is the purpose. The attractiveness of spiritual relationships. Now, and that's hard for us sometimes to appreciate, because we're also tainted by impersonalism, and we're also tainted by materialism, basically. It's hard to enter into the pleasure realm of Krishna's pastimes, mainly because of the fact that we have to put Krishna in the center and take ourselves out. We have to play apparently a bit part. Right? We like to be the center of attention, but actually we have to make Krishna the center of attention. And when we've still got ourselves as the center of attention, then it's very hard to appreciate Krishna's pastimes. So much to the point where people will challenge, show me God, explain this to me. But actually that challenging kind of mentality is not appropriate for understanding Krishna's pastimes. If we don't understand Krishna's pastimes, that's not Krishna's fault. You know, because people almost say, you know, I can't understand God, he can't exist. This is the kind of mentality that people have. Whereas it's interesting, the mentality of a devotee is, I can't understand God, that means I'm not qualified. It's a very different thing, different mentality. You know, I'm so qualified, how come God doesn't reveal himself to me? This is the mentality of the fool. Actually, Krishna is revealing himself to the pure devotee all of the time. This is the interesting thing. Krishna is revealing himself. Actually, Krishna is within everything. I was listening to a class. Prabhupada was asked by one of the devotees in Vrindavan. In Bombay then. You know, how is it that Krishna appears and then disappears? And Prabhupada said, actually, Krishna never disappears to the pure devotee. He's always present. And he mentions that verse from the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam syama sundarama chincha guna swarupam govinda madipurashamaham tamaham bhajami. For the pure devotee whose eyes are anointed. Yes, anointed. That's exactly the word I was looking for. With a salve of love. In other words, they have love and affection for Krishna. Then they can see Krishna everywhere. So Prabhupada was saying, actually there's no question of Krishna disappearing. He's always in Vrindavan. That's what he's mentioning here. One can go to Vrindavan and see Krishna. Although actually that's not recommended either. That's not recommended either. In one sense, go to Vrindavan just to see if you can see Krishna. I heard there's that lecture by Satsarit Maharaj where he says, you know, you can go to Vrindavan and try to, you know, look underneath every bush to see if you find Krishna. But that's not actually the way to see Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions, you won't see Krishna with your material senses. It's not possible to see Krishna with just your material senses, looking with your eyes, feeling with your hands. But Krishna will reveal himself when one comes with a service attitude, when one renders service to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna performs these pastimes to reveal his personality, to reveal the pleasures that exist in the spiritual realm, to attract the conditioned souls away from material enjoyment towards true enjoyment in the spiritual realm. Real rasa, right? Real pleasure, and in relationships, which is what we're all looking for. It's not so much pleasure in what we're doing, but it's pleasure in relationships. There's an example of Bhajan Prabhu was giving in his class. He was saying, you can, everybody, we're going on a picnic tomorrow, right? Everybody likes to go on a picnic. Who likes to go on a picnic? Raise your hands. Okay, everybody likes to go. But is it just because we like going on a picnic, or is it because we get an opportunity to associate with our friends there? You know, if you go to a picnic with people that you don't like, right? Imagine somebody that you don't like. Just think for a moment. Can't be too difficult. Then imagine 10 of people like that and you go on a picnic with them. Right? It's not fun. It's not, even though you're on a picnic and picnics are supposed to be good, if you're on a picnic with people that you don't like, then it's no fun at all. But if you go on, if you imagine your best friend, or your best friends, and imagine going on a picnic with your best friends, then that's enjoyable. Because it's not the activity, but it's the fact that you're going with people who you have some relationship with, some rasa. You enjoy their company. It wouldn't matter what you did, actually. You could probably go in the kitchen and cook the Sunday feast and work hard and have just as much fun as go on a picnic with the same people. Huh? Because the rasa or relationship is very sweet. So these pastimes of Krishna are revealed to demonstrate the sweetness of the rasa or relationship. And in order for us to appreciate them, we have to give up the idea of enjoying ourselves, right, and making ourselves the centre of enjoyment, but and making Krishna the, because that's what the cowherd boys, they're all totally involved and absorbed in Krishna. Of course, when we're totally absorbed in ourselves, that's hard to cope with, right? Hey, Krishna, Krishna, all the time. How about me? Where do I fit in all of this? Huh? Why Krishna all the time? And I remember, not that it's any easier now, but I remember when I first joined the temple, you know, we would have Janmashtami and we'd read a Krishna book all day long. And, well, for a long period of time, it seemed like a hell of a long time to me. And, we sit in the reception, and you know, it's really hard to stay awake. All I would be thinking about is, when's the feast? When's midnight coming? And then, you know, Korma would round you up and you'd have to go in the kitchen and do this and do that and do the other thing. And then, you know, read the Krishna book, Krishna, 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 oh, always Krishna. God, this is an austerity. Because it's a bit easier now, but I remember very hard. As you know, I thought I was a devotee, but then I discovered I wasn't much of a devotee. Reading the Krishna book was extremely difficult to do. Basically because the material conception of existence is still prominent within the heart. And of course attachment to enjoyment is very strong within the heart, especially, you know, when we're only 22 or 3 or 4, then it's very strong. The coverings of material existence are very thick. But we have to give that up. Otherwise it is very difficult to appreciate that I can enjoy these pastimes by having Krishna enjoy. Right? Let Krishna enjoy. And then I'll enjoy. That's purification. So anyway, Krishna reveals these pastimes. And for the sincere devotees who have realized the futility of material, of enjoyment on the material platform. In other words, who have broken or have been released from material attachments, because actually it's not possible for us to break our attachments. They have to be ultimately purified. We have to allow Krishna to purify us. And even then we'll find still all these weird attachments in. You know, my realization is the mind is just a madman, crazy man. Whenever, if there's something inappropriate to think, it'll think it. Just come up with something totally inappropriate. What about this? You think, oh, who is this guy? Who brought you along? You prefer to leave him at home. The mind is the kind of person that you would leave at home if you were going out in good company. Because it always come up with something inappropriate. And that's because of the material contamination. So, for one who has become purified, then there is an ability to appreciate the rasa in relationship with Krishna. And that's why Krishna's appeared. Now, Prabhupada says, we can understand that. What he says? This is out of his limitless and causeless mercy. He descends from the spiritual kingdom and displays his personal pastimes at Vrindavan, the replica of Krishna, of the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky. Boy, when you walk down the streets of Loy Bazaar, you think, this is a replica of Krishna Loka. Woo! What's that stuff flowing in the gutters? That smell. So it's interesting. Krishna covers Krishna. He covers it also. He's got a covering over it, so it appears to be something else, just to distract those who are not really serious. Huh? But what does Prabhupada say? Vrindavan is the most sacred place within this cosmic universe. Amazing, the most sacred place within the universe. Watch out for the monkeys. We went on parikrama with Jambavati and we were down by Keshi Ghat, and she had her glasses on, nice Gucci glasses, and then I saw this monkey just walking up, and then he jumped up and he pulled her glasses off and then he ran off with them. then the boys come running after him with a stick. Actually, the monkeys, we reckon that the boys at Keshi Ghat and the monkeys have got a deal going on, right? Because what they do is, then, you know, they get some fruit and they tempt the monkey with the fruit, and the monkey gives the glasses back, and then the boys bring the glasses, and you've got to pay them some rupees to get your glasses back. Anyway, it's sometimes hard to see it as the most sacred place. You've got to watch out for the cheats and the thieves. And people seeking to achieve, but, people seeking to achieve spiritual emancipation by entering the kingdom of God may make a home at Vrindavan, right? And become, but, not just make a home in Vrindavan and make yourself comfortable, right? Because I don't think it is possible because the weather is so extreme, very cold. Like now in Vrindavan at the moment, it's freezing cold. And then in the summertime, you know, we had a temperature the other day, what was it, 42.9, right? But they have weeks of 45, 48, 50 degrees. You know, Govardhan is the hottest place on the planet, regularly 50 degrees in summertime. Whew. We think we live in a hot country, but that. So you have to, you know, Vrindavan tests you. So Prabhupada says here, you have to become serious students of the six Goswamis. So this is why we're described as Rupanugas, because Rupa Goswami is the leader of the six Goswamis. And you know, you find in the songs of the Acharyas references to Rupa Raghunath. Rupa Raghunath means the six Goswamis, Rupa, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Gopala, Sri Jiva, and Raghunath Das. So when he says, when they say, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, he means the six Goswamis, not just Rupa and Raghunath, but it means, beginning from Rupa and going to Raghunath, means the six Goswamis, who are all ultimately followers of Rupa Goswami. And why? Because Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and the other Goswamis are all instructed by Lord Chaitanya personally. And it's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you know, Nana, Shastra, Vichara, Naika, Nipano, what is it? Saddhama, Samstapako. They studied Nana, Shastra. All of the Shastras they studied. Why? In order to understand how to establish Saddhama, religious principles, Samstapako, in order to establish religious principles. This is why we're called Rupanugas, because we are followers of Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami has given us all of the devotional principles. That's why Prabhupada translated the Nectar of Devotion. Because within the, and Prabhupada said, the Nectar of Devotion is the law book for ISKCON. Not because if we have a squabble, then we go to the, find, you know, well, okay, what are the, but because it gives us the rules and regulations. How to apply the process of devotional service in practice. And Prabhupada gives the example, funny example. He says, we're like a motor car that's got choked up. He says, the motor car's got choked up. Right? So our motor car's got choked up. It's not working. But he said, you get out of the motor car and you push it. And Prabhupada makes this noise, chuku 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 sound, you know. And then you push it and then it starts going by itself again. So the process of devotional service is we've got, our devotional service has got choked up. It's stopped. So now, by following the rules and regulations that are given by Rupa Goswami, we can again start up the machine, if you like, although it's not a machine. We can start again, kick-start again our devotional sentiment, our devotional attitude. Because, again, we're looking for pleasure. Each one of us is a pleasure, anandamaya bhyasa. We're all pleasure seekers. We're just looking for it in the wrong place. And, you know, we think, yes, if I serve my husband, then I'll, and you do. There's some pleasure in serving the husband. Or we think, I'll serve my wife. There's some pleasure in serving the family members, say, for example. There's a pleasure derived from that. There's a pleasure derived from going to work and serving the boss. Limited and temporary. It's Friday afternoon when they give you the paycheck. But even that's short-lived. Right? Because you spend it. You get this moment of exhilaration when you see your bank account has expanded by $350 if you're lucky. Oh, look, my bank account's expanded. But then, you know, got to pay the rent, got to pay the electricity, got to pay the gas. This is the temporary pleasures of material existence. But there's some, there's some reciprocation. Although in the material world, as Prabhupada gives the example, you know, you're at work all week, but what are you thinking of?
Money.
Money. Well, I was never earning that much money to think about the money too much, but I was thinking of the weekend. Right? There's an Easy Beat song. Monday, I've got Friday on my mind. So that's what we're thinking. Monday, oh God, when's Friday coming around? And then on the weekend, by the end of the weekend, you think, oh boy, geez, I'm getting bored with the weekend. Why? I want to go back to work. Right? So in the material world, flickering. This is Prabhupada's example. It's flickering. But the real pleasure, if we're looking for real pleasure, actually it's in these same relationships, but in relation, those relationships in connection with Krishna. So the Goswamis, especially Rupa Goswami, are teaching us the basics. How to develop, you know, and it's rising early in the morning, cleaning, all of these things, clean your teeth, clean your tongue, put your tilak on, put on clean clothes, go to the temple, Mangalartik, chant Hare Krishna, do some service. All of these things are designed actually to again establish our relationship with Krishna. And a relationship with Krishna where we get an opportunity to experience the rasa or the mellow, the taste that we're looking for and won't find completely in the material world. If we want that relationship, then the only way we're going to find it permanently is in a relationship with Krishna. And Krishna's modelling those relationships here in playing with his friends in Vrindavan, in being the affectionate child of Nanda and Yashoda, in sporting, teasing, playing with the gopis, you know, we're going to read soon, stealing their clothes. What a naughty thing to do. Boys are not supposed to go down to where the girls are taking bath. That's not proper. But of course, Krishna knew the innermost desire of the gopis because they were attracted to him only. Interesting, actually, you know, the cowherd's people of Vrindavan are very simple people. Very simple, not very sophisticated, actually. But they're the people that Krishna wants to spend his time with. They're the most attractive. Not learned. Not even necessarily, you know, well versed in the proper etiquette. The cowherd girls would leave their families to be with Krishna when he played his flute. They would just leave. Even it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned how some of them were lying down with their husbands. They'd hear Krishna play the flute, then they would leave. Can you imagine how their husbands would feel? That rascal Krishna. Abhimanyu, for example, always getting embarrassed by Krishna. Very funny. So these are the kind of relationships that we have to learn to get an affection or a taste or attraction for. We have to overcome our own attractions for those relationships on the material platform and then be able to appreciate them on the spiritual platform in order to enter into that rasa or into that, in order to be able to relish them. So how to do that? Prabhupada says here, become serious students of the six Goswamis who were instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who engaged in research and excavation of the mystery of Vrindavan Dham. Very nice. They have in their teachings revealed and in their discoveries uncovered the pastime. This is why Vrindavan is such an important place, because in Vrindavan there are all the pastime, all of the Lilasthan, the locations where Krishna performed different pastimes, and where the devotees can go and get a connection to those activities of Krishna. That's why the Dham is so important. Even though the Dham may appear to be covered by hogs and dogs and the monkeys thieving and all of the, thorns in your feet and